Hello there, Saints. Good evening. Trusting you've had a good day and you're ready for the word this beautiful evening. Hopefully you've been learning and also been instructed by the things we've said over the last few days. We're here again. We're here again, and we're going to be looking at a few things again today and just trying to establish, certain truths as well from scriptures as much as possible, avoid all forms of distractions, and we trust that we're going to have a lovely time this evening. Okay, let's just go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. All right, let's go to what. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this beautiful evening. I'll pray. Oh, gracious Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do well to pay attention yet more and more to the words that have been spoken in this meeting. And do well to pay attention more and more to the utterances that we're going to be giving today up until Sunday. For you see, words are very predominant in meetings. Words are very important in meetings. And what God will do in the earth fundamentally would be expressed through words. Through words, through words. Now, pay attention to the words that will be said in this meeting, particularly today, the words that have been said in the previous meetings, and the words that will be said in the coming days. And in those words, there will be lots of, communication of virtues of, power, and lots of things will be brought into alignment in our various lives. And do well to also ensure that the words you pay attention to become your words. Altogether, that they become your words. And the words as well that you will speak on a casual day-to-day, right? They are words of the Spirit, words full of faith, words full of power, words full of faith, words full of power, right? Don't get yourself mixed up with what the world will have you say or speak as your words. For you see, your words really should be determined from what you see in the word, right? The word of God should determine how you navigate your words in this world, and that's how you will see and implement victory in every area of your life. You see, do well not to give in to fear, right? Do well not to give in to doubt or trepidation. Do well not to give in to, the loud, noisy, sounds that we seem to hear in our environment. Do well to give in to God's word. Feed on God's word. God's word. Feast on God's word. Voraciously consume God's word. And let that build strength on your inside. Let that build strength on your inside. Let that build stamina on your inside. Let that build strength, stamina on your inside. For you see, there's a lot of strength in the words of the Lord. There's a lot of strength in the words that, comes out from meetings like this. There are lots of strength. There's a lot of strength made available through the words that are coming out through, meetings and in through believers, for instance. In meetings like this, do well to pay attention to them and let those words primarily be the words you feast on and you focus on in your daily lives. You see, there'll be healing made available in this meeting, just like in the previous meetings, right? God's power is working, right? So there'll be strange sicknesses that will find an excuse out of your body. There'll be strange diseases that will find an excuse out of your body. There'll be the replacement of illness with strength, vigor, and power. Right? Yes, there will be strength made available on your inside, right? And in during the course of the meeting, you will find the need to start doing the things you could not do. You will find the need to get yourself to do the things that, you have not done in a while. You will find yourself stretching that back that seems to be, cracked up with the pain or cracked up with, that has made you get that posture that is not convenient. You will crack that back. You will crack that neck, right? You will see that, your hearing becomes clearer, your eyes become clear, your words, your lips, they become very clear and audible as a result of this meeting. Why? Because we know that when God's word is taught, right, God's power is readily available to heal, right? God's word is taught and God's power is readily available to heal, right? Those pains in your leg, right, the things that, have caused you so much discomfort in the days behind, right, from today stops in the name of Jesus, right? So do well to pay attention to words and receive your healing right now in this meeting. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Lord, we receive clarity this evening. We receive direction, and I will trust that your spirit has a free flow in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome to day 5. We'll pick it up again from where we stopped yesterday. Right? We'll pick it up again from where we stopped yesterday. Look at Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel 16. What have we done from day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, now to day 4, so to say? We've paid attention to a few things, right? We've paid attention to the love of God, paid attention to the things of spirit, we've paid attention to, you know, the faithfulness of God, paid attention to faith, faith-filled words, faithfulness, healing, and, you know, some of the likes, right? So day 1, we paid a lot of attention to how the believer should treat or view God's faithfulness. Altogether, that's very important. How the believer should treat, right, God's faithfulness. How the believer should treat God's faithfulness is something that we need to ensure that we keep our hearts and minds fixed on. Very, very important. So if you're a member, if you are a leader in church, you're a DFL member, you're an RLA member, that's the Reformed Leaders Academy. Just immediately after this call, I'm going to be dropping a link for you to have a call, a very urgent call with you. So just ensure that you keep an eye for that link and don't come late, join in as usual. As soon as we're done with this call. Well, so we said that, you know, God's faithfulness needs to be seen via the resurrection, right? We need to see God's faithfulness through the lens of the cross, through the lens of the resurrection of Jesus, right? We looked through the use of words on day 2, looked at how words are used in scriptures, looked at how Bible interpretation is so important. Two particular words we used for this particular series is, you know, Zoe. We only mentioned a little about agape, but for Zoe, we paid a lot of attention to it. And we looked through the scripture to see how the word Zoe is used in scriptures, right? You know, and you know, we said that, you know, trying to bring correction to ourselves that, you know, Zoe does not mean the life of God, right? So you hear people say things like, I have the Zoe life, right? And what they mean is that Zoe means the life of God. So what you're just really saying is you have Zoe, you have life altogether. I'm saying a non-believer can say I have the Zoe life, right? Zoe is at work in me. Zoe is working on my inside. Zoe is working for me. Zoe is doing it. Yeah, I have Zoe. Yeah, a non-believer can say that as much as a believer, right? We've paid attention to that. Look through several scriptures to see how that word was used. We also mentioned about agape. We said agape is not the love of God. Altogether, agape is just a borrowed word that you see more often than not. It's just like life, for instance. Suche is another example of the Greek word, right? For life, as used in scriptures, and it's used in several portions of scriptures for life. But more often than not, life, a lot of times, we see that background, we see the foreground, rather, of life. And Zoe, rather, we see the foreground of life or background of life, anyone that sits your boat, really. Then agape as well, more often than not, we used to speak about the love of God, you know, but it's just a borrowed word to speak about the love of God. But in itself, there's no definition of it that means the love of God. Right? So we'll look at that on the So day 3, we start looking at some very important, you know, things about scriptures and how the word sickness is used as a parable for sin, for modes of conduct, for lifestyles, you know. Then you see, we started talking about the literals that were once figurative and they are now literals. I'll pay attention to that. We also looked at some things yesterday. Looked at some examples of signs and wonders from day 3 to day 4. Signs and wonders. What are signs? What's the Greek word for signs? What's the Hebrew word for signs? And how did we get into those conclusions for signs and wonders? So it's very, 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 very important. So we said that, you know, the word signs is something that, you know, speaks about or points at to an event, or is a pointer to an event or pointer to a message, right? We looked at how that word has been used. We said some things are signs in scriptures. Yesterday, we paid attention to the word plero, right? Which is that it might be fulfilled, particularly in the writings of the Gospels, right? How two events are connected, how together, right? We also went back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, right? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall, you know, be with a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, right? And we said that sign is not a sign they were looking forward to by looking forward to Jesus that will be born. No. Jesus was born hundreds of years, possibly, after that, you know, sign was needed. Everybody, the last person in that generation would have died probably hundreds of years before Jesus, the birth of Jesus. So if the birth of Jesus was a sign they were looking for, it means that in the real sense, they were not going to as much as possible enjoy the, you know, the benefit of what they get the sign for in their world. You know, some kingdoms are trying to fight against them and come up against them and all of that. We'll pay attention to that. You can go back through the series again if it doesn't make sense to you, or if it's not connected yet, or if you're joining for the first time, right? And just go back and go and revisit day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. We've been building all of that. So yesterday, particularly, we paid attention to what you call you know, divine healing as a pointer to supernatural spiritual healing. We said it's a sign, right? So there are signs and wonders. We ask ourselves questions. Are there signs that are no longer happening since he has been raised from the dead, right? Or is there still a need for signs since the reality has happened altogether? And what is the essence of signs? So we start looking at some of this. So look at Matthew, Mark 16. It should be Mark 16, verse 15. Are you together? Mark 16:15. Now look what it says there. Jesus came and said unto them, verse 15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It says, but he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So start looking at a few things in scriptures as to how, what are signs particularly, right? What are signs? Start looking through how, you know, Jesus the healer, God the healer, who practiced to Jesus the healer more in the coming days. Look at the first mention of healing, you know, and mention of healed, mention of what needs to be healed, you know, and how healing is linked to life. We went to Isaiah 53, by stripes we were healed yesterday, and we said fundamentally that healing speaks about a reconciliation of lost sheep back to the bishop and shepherd of our souls. And we said, but even at that, in that reconciliation, we have signs that should follow our together. So when Jesus is going to the world and preach the gospel, he's saying, go and get every creature healed. That means go and get everyone reconciled. What did he now say? This sign shall follow. That means the signs will be part of what is expected to be seen in demonstration when that reconciliation is happening. Are you with me? Right? So man needs to be reconciled to God, right? And when the message that brings God reconciliation happens or is happening, there are signs that follow suit. So it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, in our world, the question is, because there are lots of fake miracles, there are a lot of fake people, fake things happening around, right? There's every tendency for the believer to, you know, tilt in his mindset and ideology about miracles. You know, I told you all in church a couple of weeks ago, I said, I don't see myself not believing that miracles can be real, because I've seen miracles happen. I was together. I've seen, you know, by God's power, by God's spirit, you know, God using me as a privileged vessel to bring healing to certain people. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago, right, about some of the things that, you know, we've seen as a local church, you know, which a lot of them we've not even spoken about in church, right? And one of the things he admonished we should do is to make sure we document our miracles and healings that happen in our meetings. And I think it's a good thing, actually, right, just to have it right there, and, you know, just to have a catalog or repository of, you know, great, various, mighty miracle things that happen in our midst. Very, very, you know, supernatural things happen with us, right? You know, but, you know, just because our focus are not on the signs, that's why we ensure that our message remains the most consistent thing that we give and we preach altogether. Very, 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 very important, right? So we've seen so many things, and I think I have gone past the stage altogether of being able to doubt that signs and wonders are real. Together, it's just like, you know, the things of the spirit, working the miracles, gift of faith, everything together, prophecy, right, utterances, tongues, interpretation, where I cannot at any point in my life see myself thinking of any of them as fake altogether, just like word of knowledge, right? Whether people are getting details from people in one strange way or the other, the truth remains that I have seen it practically in my life, right? So I've seen it evidently in my life. And no, funny thing, it's not just even a case of me seeing it, right? I've also trained people particularly, right? I've trained people severally altogether. Yeah, so let's assume that anyone who wants to assume that anyone that has been trained is just also faking it as well. In my heart, in my conscience, I've seen evidently, right, promptings of the spirit, and of spirit, accurate things that are happening in people's lives, that are going to happen in people's lives, and they happen just as said altogether, right? I expect that every member in God's palace, I don't think there should be a member in God's palace who hasn't evidently been able to minister and also receive ministration of another. I don't think there should be anybody in God's palace. Even if you stay in God's palace for 3 months, altogether, 3 months into 6 months, you should have, if you stay in God's palace for 3 months, you should have found someone minister to you. If you stay in God's palace 3 months to 6 months, you trust God's spirit that you should have also ministered to somebody else. Altogether, so these are definite things that, you know, we've seen, so we can't doubt it altogether. So, you know how signs are to make you believe. I'm saying to you that in my Christian journey, in my Christian faith right now, how I view the Christian faith right now, yeah, either signs are fake or they are not fake, right? I've jumped past that ideology or world of trying to either be in disbelief about the things of God, or also if particularly about the resurrection of Jesus. Altogether, yeah, it's a good place to get yourself, right? Such that you are first approaching every situation believing God can, not approaching every situation assuming that people are fake. Altogether, right? You know, I can always tell you, the only reason why you can be that way is because, you see, if you give birth to a child and only nurture that child to get exposed to truth, to the truth of God's word, and also nurture that child to be exposed to the mighty miracle signs and wonders that people have experienced in their meetings and in their ministries, right? There is no how that child will find, you know, obviously, definitely, you know, there will be exposure to children in schools and all of those things where they can help you. But if you train them very well at home, right, there's no way that child can go into the school and mix up their mind and mix up their identity, right? That's why you see in this coming generation as parents, you need to be very intentional about your children, right? You see, when your children are having ailments or having things, let them know that you can lay hands on them. Do you understand? From a very young age, yeah? You see, a lot of times because we have access to free health care, access to money, HMO, access to, you know, insurances and co, and we sort of have a way of, as believers, rather than believing more in God's power, we actually have a way of subconsciously believing and trusting more in the medical professions and doctors and in HMOs and insurances or NHS or whatever you call it, or IHS. Altogether, I'm not saying we should not trust in the power and the ability of doctors, right? But I'm saying there is something much more. Altogether, let me say it this way. Yeah, there's something much more. See, yeah, where medicine can stop, God's power can go further. Altogether, but there is no situation that God's power can stop with. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, you know, when you put situations together, there are some that medically speaking will call me. Doctor will say, I'm afraid. Altogether. But I'm saying that much more than afraid, there's something that shoots past that altogether. And that's why as a believer, you build your faith more, right? You build your faith more. You build your faith more. You build your faith more. You pay attention more to faith-filled words altogether. You ensure you pay attention to faith-filled words so that you don't get yourself entangled with, you know, the things that the devil wants you to be entangled with. You know, sometimes one of the things that happens to believers is that they get themselves busy with things they should not get themselves busy with altogether. Yeah, you get yourself busy with things you should not get yourself busy with. What I do with your mouth, what I do with your eyes, what I do with your ears, what I do with your listening. You know, you should have an atmosphere where God's word is preached altogether. You should have an atmosphere where God's word is preached. You should always create that atmosphere where you are listening to God's word. You are building your faith. You are building your faith. There's nothing wrong in watching movies. There's nothing wrong in watching things. It gives you a sense of exposure, particularly being able to understand certain places without being there. But you see, don't be a believer, right? If you're a believer who watches more movies than listen to the word, yeah, you are a worldly believer. Did you listen to what I just said? There's no mincing of words about that, no matter who you are. If you're somebody who watches the news, you watch movies altogether, you spend more time on Instagram than you spend on the world, you are a worldly believer. There's no other way to say it. I try to look for a polished way to say it altogether. So you see, when these words are said, right, particularly when it's said in an open like this, don't make it look as if it's just a casual statement that has been made. Look on your inside and adjust your life altogether. I'm saying there are people that find themselves in situations, and when I hear what they say about situation, they cannot lie to me that they've been feasting on the word. It's not possible. Because you can't feast on the word as much as you should and have to slant on your tongues, on your tongue, in your thoughts. In fact, altogether. Yeah, there's some things that can't get into my thoughts. Altogether, there's some things that can't get into my thoughts. There's some things that can't afford to get into my thoughts. Why? Because I create an atmosphere more often than not, right, where God's word is being taught, when God's word is playing, right, where I'm listening to teachings, I'm building my faith. Yeah, you don't always need to wait till when you are sick before you start playing messages in the hospital. Don't wait till when you are sick before you start playing messages on your bedside. No. It's almost slightly getting late at that point already, right? It's almost slightly getting late at that point already. And that does not mean that, you know, it's totally out of place, right? But I'm saying that's why now that you are whole, now that you are healed, right, you ensure that you prepare your mind. Get God's word. You see, chuck God's word into your body. Yeah, chuck is a Nigerian word, right? So I'm speaking as a Nigerian now, right, from which is where I come from, right? Chuck is a Nigerian word. Chuck God's word. You see, pierce your heart, slice your heart, and be slotting in God's word at every corner. Slice your heart and slot in God's word. You see, that's the only way you can remain with an attitude of victory in this world. Let me tell you, once you wake up and look on your phone, once you wake up and look into the atmosphere, more often than not, we have bad news, bad things that are being communicated. We have bad signals that are being communicated. We have terrible things. I'll tell you for free. It's running into probably 10 years, if not more, that I've sat down to watch news. If not more than 10 years. This is 2025. That I sat down. The last time I remember doing that was with my dad. I remember this was probably 2002, at least before I even started university, right? This was years ago. I was together. But it's been that I would sit down for 5 minutes. I was together. Now, I'm not saying that there are places where I go to, for instance, I go to a doctor, maybe an office, or if I'm somewhere and the news is what is everybody's watching, right? Yeah? I find a way to get myself distracted from that by doing something else on my phone. I listen to a message, listen to music, or do something else. Yeah? But I will sit down. Yeah? I don't know how to. Yeah, I don't know how to, you know, look for news channels to ask what is happening in the earth. See, I'm not saying that that's what everybody should do. You know, somebody was saying that's not a good approach to have in life. You need to listen to anything. I'm saying, and the person said that, and you know, when things are happening in the environment, people are running. How do you know to run? I said, that's why sometimes in my house, when you look at some of my windows, they are open slightly. Yeah, it's intentional. When you look at some of the windows in my house, they are open slightly. I'm always watching outside. Yeah, so if anybody is running, there's no way I will see one person run, two people run, three people run. I will know that something is happening. Yeah, it's not by knowing what is on the news, because the news has a way of demoralizing you. The news has a way of making you feel useless, worthless, making you scared of the unknown. You see, the unknown as it's in itself is already by default scary. Now to add things that will fuel the scariness, you know, that's already existing in the world of the unknown. Did you hear what I just said? Right? It's very, very important for you to guard your heart. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Are you here? Have you gone? I hope you're here. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Don't forget, there will be ideologies that will be communicated as literals in scriptures, then will now become slightly as pointers, or what's the word I used yesterday? I'm trying to escape from the use of the word literal. I used another word yesterday that just came to me yesterday when I used it. I don't know if you remember that, right? Yeah, so there are things that will happen. I'm saying, look at it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to bring down strong. Now look at what it says that explains that to me in verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. What does it mean to cast down imaginations? It means to shield your heart, or to ensure you bring down walls of Jericho. Are we together? Yeah. Casting down imagination. See what it says? Pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge in all of disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Look at that one more time. Casting down imaginations. How do you cast down imaginations? You see, you cast down imaginations primarily by using your words. You cast down imaginations fundamentally by using your words, by the choice of words you use. Are we together? You know, something can point or push something to you, right? And you know how to just deflect it. I'm saying you know how to just deflect it. Altogether, you have a thought that just says, maybe, you know, for those of you, you know, as I told you, yeah, if you are somebody who you still did some of the things that are spoken about in this meeting during the course of these few days, you are a very disobedient believer. What are some of the things I spoke about? Yeah, you have some aches in your body. You have something pinning you. You feel like something is not as much as wrong. You need to feast on the word first before you feast on the world's news. Are we together, right? There is nothing that says that doctors are not people we should relate with. No. Altogether, yeah, I tell you, I try as much as possible in very recent years, right, to ensure that I go for medical checkups at least twice in a year. I would get at least twice in a year to know, you know, what my heart is saying. But you see, before I go to the hospital, I'm already filled with faith such that no matter what is heard in the hospital, I know of one fact, that God's power is mightily at work in me. I would get that. So how does imagination find its way into your heart, the things you want, the things you see? Let me tell you something. If you are somebody listening to me right now, and there's a kind of pain that is, you know, troubling your body, kind of pain that you've been battling with for a bit, for a while, right, and you spend more time in movies, are we together, than you spend more time in the world, where worldly pressing. You see something, let me tell you something. You know that if you are hospitalized for any reason, right, one of the things you think you want to get yourself to do during that period is to watch movies. Altogether, you know, but one thing you can ensure you do is to ensure that the movies you are watching are not movies that, you know, you can watch a movie, right? And coincidentally, I mean, when you watch a movie, more often than not, you might not know the details of what will happen in the movie. Coincidentally, somebody might have the same thing that you're having as sickness in the movie, and the end of that person is death, and that thing already becomes an imagination in your mind. Altogether, right? So the hospital space is not a place where you try to see how to, you know, get yourself to relax or while away time. As a believer, I'm talking to you as a believer, remember, I'm not talking to another person, I'm talking to a believer, right? Yeah, so it's not a place where you get yourself to be relaxed and be watching, you know, ridiculous things or strange things or listening to strange music. I would get that. It's a place to continue feasting and feeding on the word. I would get that, right? It says pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds are those things that hold the minds and hearts and brains and ideologies and, you know, of man, so to say, altogether. Yeah, you know, some people, let me use another example to explain this 3-4 verses. You know, a statistic, what is not statistic, an experiment was done, either with a monkey and an elephant, right? They tied the leg of the elephant to a tree and left it for a few months or a few years. Now, what I'm saying to you is, let's assume it never happened, but imagine we do this. So imagine you tie the elephant. So what the experience said was, they tied the legs of the elephant to a tree, right? And it means that the elephant could not go past a region. That means no matter how much you walk, the rope will drag you back. No matter how much you walk, the rope will drag you back. So there's a sphere that the elephant or the monkey could not walk past. And guess what happened? After a few months into years, they finally removed the rope from the leg. And guess what? The elephant will go to that same point where the rope, or the monkey will go to the same point where the rope stopped him or stopped her, and will not go further than that. And they rotated around that place for days into weeks, according to the research. Yeah, what is that? It means it has become a stronghold in their mind, something that is holding their mind strong. Are we together? So what was literal before has become a stronghold. I'm saying to you, there are some people that what you have as what you call sickness that has been there for a while is not as much a literal thing in your body, but is in your mind. Are you listening to me? And I'm not biasing my words on this, right? Yeah, I mean, there was someone that reached out to me, you know, for healing a couple years ago, right? And in one of the things I found out in my conversation was that what they were paying attention to was not as much, you know, of an existence in their body. Are we together? Not as much as it is in the body, right? Because there's a way that something can be happening to you. Think about it this way. You see, you know, you can be in a meeting such that your hand is programmed in a way, right? Maybe you got injured, you know, something happened and you broke your hand or you cracked your bone, right? But you know, you can be from a meeting and God's power has healed you already. But because somewhere in your mind, you believe that if you do your hand like this, there's pain, you remain like this. Where is that pain now? It's no longer in your hand. It's now in your mind. That stronghold. What did Paul say? For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations exist? Imaginations exist in your mind. Okay? So when you go back to the wall of Jericho, you know, the wall of Jericho fell down flat by the children of God. You know the song we sang? Yeah? You know, we've looked through that scripture in church, right? Looked at the instruction that God gave them, right? They were to walk around the wall of Jericho and they were not even to sing or to dance up until the last time. And we're together, right? We saw that we go around 7 times and everything. So they were instructed not to say a word, particularly. Yeah? But we've looked at that. Yeah? But did that wall need to come down yes. You see, the same way that wall needed to come down, are we together, in the book of Joshua, is the same way there are walls in your mind that needs to come down. Where are strongholds going to be found? They'll be found in your heart, in your mind. They'll be found in your subconscious. See, some of us, the strongholds that are affecting us are already well seated and rooted in our subconscious. I'm saying such that there are things that you already healed of, right? But you can't act on it immediately because the pain is no longer where it is. It's now in your mind. Altogether, it's now in your mind. It's now in your mind. It's now in your ideologies. It's now in your mind. It's now in it has now become something that has, you know, built a castle in your mind. Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but mighty through God. Altogether, you're in a world right now where, you know, you want to fight war. The greatest war that is fought in this world right now is not the war of swords, but the war of words. You get what I just said? The greatest war, greatest battle in this world is not the battle of swords, because some people end up dying even before swords touch them. Are you with me? Yeah? Are you with me? You know, research shows, if you check online, I've seen so many documentaries that show that some people get to die in a plane crash before the plane crashes. Altogether, I'll give you an example. I was flying to Lagos in 2012. Yes. 2012 August, I was trying to Lagos, right? And I was on a plane, right? Some of you will remember, if you're from Nigeria, remember the plane that crashed in 2010 and 2012, right? Whatever the airline was, maybe Ghana or something, right? Yeah, you know, and you know, that exact plane that crashed, I was in that plane the day before. How do I know? Till today, I still have the ticket number or aircraft number. I still have it. I documented it somewhere up there. I was on that exact plane. Let me tell you what happened. That plane could not land. I went together for almost 2 hours, 50-something minutes, maybe 15 or 50-something minutes. I can't remember the exact figure. Why? We're always trying. We'd have to go around. The pilot would tell us, now you're approaching towards Benin Republic, going towards it. He would go around to land. He could not land. Altogether. Yeah, it was already very troublesome, very problematic, right? You know, and that was when you could see different kinds of people. I saw one brother, you know, with his Agia cap and all of those things, and one of those things, you know, blasting tongues. I saw another brother. Yeah, there were people who peed on themselves. Altogether, there were people who fainted on that course, you know, and I think that was even the first time I actually flew. I went on a plane, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was the first time I went on a plane with my dad, right? And I sat beside the window, and my dad was just sitting beside me, you know, and, you know, he just held my hands, and he was just talking in tongues under his breath. I've never been on a plane before, so I thought that was the normal thing, even though, no matter how normal you think it is, somewhere in your heart, you would think, ha, will I touch the ground today, oh? You know, sometimes you now have to look through the window to say, how far are you from the top to the ground to see if you fall, if you break your leg or not. Altogether. But you see, I'm saying there are people who were already thinking of the worst case scenario. Altogether. They're thinking of the worst case scenario. In fact, I've seen documentaries of air boxes, black boxes in crafts, right? When I used to love documentary on some of those things a while ago until I had to stop intentionally for my sanity, right? When you see black boxes and start hearing reports, right? You realize that sometimes some of those videos, you watch them, you see that some of the air hostesses, in trying to calm situations down, there are people they are trying to resuscitate back to life. Altogether, I'm trying to say that a lot of people tend to go through life and get themselves in a place of, you know, downcastness or in a place of low. Are we together? And it's just simply because of strongholds in their minds. Strongholds in their minds. Paul says, our warfares are not carnal. Are we together? We do not war after the flesh. Yeah? So the greatest war that is fought in this world is first the war of the mind. Are we together? Before the war of the sword. Are we together? Right? Yeah? For you see, in your mind is where everything happens. So what are you feeding your mind with? What are you feeding your mind? What are you feeding your heart with? Altogether, you have issues with, you know, your health. You have issues with something you're trying to feed with. And the best series you think that fits you in that series is Grey Anatomy. Trust me, I've not watched it, right? But I've heard a few people talk about it. I'm just joining. I don't know if I'm even correct, right? But I think it's a medical movie. So if it's a medical movie, somewhere in my head, I'm assuming that means that they'll be treating medical conditions. And that's your that's your go-to movie when you're trying to trust God and believe God for something else. No, Paul says, casting down imaginations. You see, you have to cast them down. The truth is that sometimes you might not know even when they build themselves in your heart. You might not even know the things you listen to. Have you not realized that sometimes you listen? Have you not realized that, you know, they tell you, psychologists tell you, that the way you respond to certain things. I was looking at a child. I was looking at two parents and a child. Something happened to the child. The child hit their head on something, you know. And the husband said to the wife, don't act like you are, do you understand, like it's painful, right? And the moment the mother wanted to just, you know, obviously that's the emotion and all of that, everything that attaches the person, you know, and the mother connected herself as soon as the father said so, right? And the child who wanted to start crying just stopped crying altogether. So it means that even our children, they watch us, how we respond to things. A lot of times what we call fear to them is as a result of what they are seeing or observing in you. Altogether, in your life, that's why you see some. That's why you realize they tell you that the best time to swim is when you are just born. I see videos of people, right? 3 months baby, 4 months baby, 5 months baby. They take them to a pool and they literally just throw them in the water and they turn themselves, tumble around, survive. Yeah, that's because there has not been an infusion of fear in their mind. That means they've not started building strongholds in their minds. I would gather they don't have as much to cast down like you. Yeah, I'm not saying you. I'm not talking about myself. I remember when I went to go learn how to swim. One dear brother of mine. Yeah. He just looked at me and just entered water. I came, I said, should enter. I entered through staircase, saying, no, yeah, go and play with the water. I was holding these things in the pool, moving around. He now said, come down. He now said, you dive. He now said, you say, do your mind. So what he now said, he just said, close your eyes, do your hand like this and free your mind. I free my mind. Free my mind, okay? No, I can't free my mind. Just like, how can you tell me to free my mind inside water? Free my mind. God will not let us see devil. Right? And he just said, no. Just free your mind. Just enter into the water and free your mind. No, I couldn't free my mind. Why could I not free my mind? There were strongholds in my mind. Do you understand how you are entering water? You're taking, what if this water enters your nose and you cannot pump it out? Quickly you see flashbacks of people who they were about to drown and they put them on the land after rescuing them, and 5 divers go into the water to go and rescue them, and they bring them and they start pumping their stomach, right? And your mind, you now be thinking, what if they pump my own? And because it's too big, maybe I have a pot belly, right? And the stomach has a way of shielding the pressure from getting to where the water is. So it's, you have different things in your mind altogether. Now that's as a result of, you know, your daily living. You know, I said to a friend of mine, yeah, the more you live in life and the more you start achieving some of the things you think you want to, you've always wanted to achieve in time and everything, there's such a way the world has a way of putting fear in you, such that you're already by default programming yourself to expect negative from every situation. Altogether, you know, there's some things that the more you grow older, you can't do it. I was somewhere, you know, in Southeastern Europe, somewhere 2 years ago, right? And I went for paragliding. I don't think I've released that video actually, right? So I went paragliding. Yeah, it was paragliding. We went to the top of a hill, altogether, right? The tallest hill in that particular city, right? Went all the way to the top, right? And what happened? They attached on my body some of those, you know, paragliding kits and everything, you know? So, you know the funny thing, we were at the base of the hill. It was very high. So it's a country called Montenegro. Meaning of Montenegro means black mountain. But the entire country is built around mountains. Altogether. So it means that they've created infrastructure on mountains. So it means that as you are driving through mountains and the road is designed in a spherical way such that as you are going up to you get to the top. So we're at the base. They get to pick us from the base. Altogether. We entered the car and I had like 200 or 300 people with me. You know, and I didn't tell anybody, obviously. I didn't tell my mom, I didn't tell my siblings, I didn't tell even my wife. You know, until you saw the video, right? You know, and I just went there, right? And I just drove all the way to the top. Now, what happened? You know the funny thing? I'd never watched. I think it was even my wife that told me there's something nice you can do like this in Montenegro. I think so. But trust me, I'd never gone online to watch what it seemed like. In fact, the best I know was I've seen people jump out of helicopters altogether. I've seen people moving helicopters and just jump out and just say, ooh, you know, so it sounds like fun. Altogether until you're there. You know, so. But this particular one, you don't get into a helicopter. You know, a helicopter is the one that is giving you the propensity, right? Then you jump out of it. This paragliding one, you go to the top of the hill, right? And what happens? You now, with the support of a paraglider, you now run towards the edge of the cliff. Are we together? You run towards the edge of the hill, then release your leg. You see, that's the real place where they say free your mind. And you release your leg. Ah. And, you know, because I'd never seen it, I'd not watched to prepare my mind. You know, I wasn't as scared. But when we started doing the practical, I'm like, ah, maybe if I had watched this thing, I would have kept my hundreds of thousands, right, in my pocket. I mean, imagine someone paying hundreds of thousands out together to go and die. You know the unfortunate thing? I'd never listened to it. If I had checked online to look at paragliding in Montenegro, I would have seen that a few months from then, there was a news that was recorded out together that said that somebody, a paraglider and a guest like myself, a guest, not like myself, Obiko, right? A paraglider and somebody else, right? They paraglided together in such a way, and a wind came and it destroyed their paraglider, their whatever it is, and they fell straight into the sea. Altogether, and they died instantly. But you see, I've not filled my heart with those information. Are we together? I've not filled my heart with that, with those information. You get the point? So I went there, got there, you know, and you know, we got to the mountaintop. Let me tell you the most stressful part. There were three paragliders. One of them spoke partial English. The other ones, they don't speak English at all. Are we together? So we first held the thing. You know, we're about to run off the cliff, right? And unfortunately, I was hearing two voices. Yeah, the one that spoke English was a younger person. In fact, when you're in the sky, it does acrobatic with you in the sky. It'll be somersaulting. But you know, when I was going up, I saw I'd watched them land before, because we were down before they came with the previous set, right? So I'd watched them at the base of the mountain land, you know, and I just noticed that there was one who was trying to tumble and somersault. And now when I saw them from afar, when I saw them, I said, this one is older, this one is younger, this one is 30-something, this one is 6-something. He had been paragliding for 25 years or thereabouts. Ah, me, as soon as we just said we entered the car, it was that brother, that man's car, I said I must enter. This is me without even having information. Why did I say that? Somebody who is this old was probably in his late 50s into 60s, and he's doing it for 25 plus years, will actually value life more. Do you understand? That somebody who is in his 30s. So I claim to that brother. Unfortunately, that one does not speak English, right? So we're about to just take off. We had already set everything. We've looked back. I was like, no fear in me, no fear, no doubt here, only rivers of joy. But let me tell you, the only reason why there was not as much fear was because I had not filled my heart with as much of negativity. All together. And guess what? The guy who is a stunter, who is a younger person, kept shouting, go, 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 go. Meanwhile, the guy holding me was shouting, stop, 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 but in a different language. Do you understand? And paragliding, you are the one in front. All together. So it means if you are the one in front, it means you determine your running. You determine your pace. I want to get that. Some of you are looking at me interestingly, because I don't think I've spoken about this before in church. I want to get that. Oh, interesting. It means it's going to make it 2 years. Time flies. I want to get that. So I was yelling, go, 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 go. Meanwhile, he was shouting in, I don't know what language they even speak there. He was shouting behind me. I said, stop, 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 stop. Eventually, something just said stop. Maybe it's the fear. I don't know. I just stopped. Paraglider that was already going up in the sky. I want to get that. We had to pull it down because wind was already taking us. We had to pull it down. And guess what? We are at the edge. I was about 2 steps away from taking off. So it was when I now walked back, I went together, and saw how that guy's face was red and how he was angry at the other brother for speaking in English and saying I should go. He now had to coach me and say, you know what? Don't listen to anybody. Listen to me. I'm an instructor. And I'm like, how can I listen to you when you don't even speak my language? You understand? So what now happened? We now have to drop everything down, right? Then imagine someone who has been paragliding for 25 years. He said, okay, he had to pause. He had to go and ease himself. Imagine, you know, that kind of, you had eased yourself before we started taking off. Right, and because of that simple act that just happened, you said you have to go and ease yourself again. I said, let me ease myself too, because this one, someone has been doing this. You are going to ease yourself. It sounds funny, but thank God I'm alive. Do you understand? Why am I using this example for you? I'm trying to tell you how imagination works. Now we're together, right? So we eventually, Get up again. I wore my helmet, you know, wore my boots. In fact, one unfortunate thing, if you're going to do it because you're listening to me, make sure you wear a cardigan altogether, because you are like, so imagine the altitude in which a plane is flying or an helicopter is flying altogether. So you are, means you're going to be in thick air. Some of you say, who's doing it with you? Well, so I'm just giving you an example. So eventually we keep talking. The only thing that created fear in me at first was the fact that I saw the countenance of this brother and he went to ease himself even after easing himself before we get up. I'm saying he eased himself twice within 10 minutes or 15 minutes. 15 minutes. So eventually what happened? I said, I've come here. Another person who drove all the way with us said, no, see, it's not my leg. I used to do this one. He said, you have to drive me back to where you picked me from. Take the money. I don't care. So what happened? When again? And before you know it, he now tells you, say, go, go, go. So he started telling me. So he told me what the language go is and stop. And eventually we started running. And we ran and eventually we took off. Yeah? In taking off, what now happened? He said, just relax yourself. The moment you allow your leg to leave the ground, you don't have any other option than to relax yourself. Do you understand? So I eventually now relaxed myself, you know, and did not paragliding, you know, he too was a little spontaneous and everything. And eventually, you know, we went round. He took me on top of the sea. Now, I went on top of the sea. I wasn't scared. Imagine I was told that people died in that sea, like the same sea. Imagine he told me on the spot, you see that spot there, that's where the man and the other people that died, that's where they went in. You know, I didn't have any of that in my mind. And eventually what happens? We go. Eventually we land. And how you land? You land with your running. So you land running. You get the point? So as you are landing, you are running because you are going to have to coordinate. That's physics, basically. Do you understand? So eventually what now happens? Where we're now, you know, when I was now going back with the driver and another thing. And no, not even then. They didn't even tell me anything. It was when I was going by the driver, the guy was now asking me and, you know, I was preaching to him. And, you know, we got talking, studying about Jesus and everything, asking about, you know, the culture and life of that place and how Christianity is in that place and everything. You know, I kept preaching the word and, you know, ministering to him and basically that. You know, so he now, well, when would I finish? Because we were driving for a long distance. He now asked me, what have you done that was exciting? So I now said, oh, I just went to do paragliding. And I said, you did paragliding? He said, 2-3 months ago, two people died. They died. They just entered. They went. As soon as they went, one wind just took them and took them to the sea and the thing just scattered and they just went. Look at it now. As I'm talking to you right now, even you, that as when I started saying this story, you had an imagination or a thought or an inclination to say, let me even attempt it. Now you're saying, no, it's not me and you, right? But you see, as I'm adding this one, what am I doing? Imagination. They become strongholds. I'm saying to you, tomorrow, if I go there, this is 2 years down the line, even if I meet the exact same guy, because my knowledge has now, in quote, increased, I'm saying to you, there's some knowledge that you have, and they are not as much positive to help you, right, in receiving your healing. I just give you a few, you know, few minutes to just narrate that experience for you to see what I'm talking about. It says the imaginations, casting down of imaginations. I'm saying there are walls in your mind right now that eventually it is as a result of things leaving your physical body, they are now walking in your mind. So Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to bring down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing. What is the high thing? The high thing is that which that exalted itself above or against. Altogether, it exalted itself against. That means it's trying to compete. When you see imaginations competing with God's word in you, you are paying more attention to worldly stuff. I'll say one more time. When you are competing with imagination, you are paying more attention to worldly stuff. You are paying more attention to things of this world. You are spending more time on social media. You are spending more time on the news. You are spending more time on movies that are not edifying. There are movies that are edifying, but there are movies that are not edifying. Altogether. So it says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. Altogether, bring into captivity. So what is God's will for your life regarding any illness? It is that God wants you healed. Don't forget yesterday. The same way God wants every man saved is the same way a sign is a pointer to show that God wants everybody healed. Altogether, so God is not in the business of inflicting pain and illnesses on people, right, to prove himself. You know, some people say that, God made some people blind or some people deaf from birth, so he can show the world a seventh wonder, nope, or a ninth wonder, nope. God wants everyone to be healed, okay? God wants everyone to be healed. altogether. So we saw that, and there were restrictions for people that had leprosy, women with issues of blood and everything in Leviticus yesterday. And we saw how Jesus was going to welcome everyone into his temple, both the blind, both the lame, and both the outcast. Now, let's look at a little of healing, physical healing, in the ministry of Jesus. Don't forget, we've clarified, Jesus came to supply healing to man, to humanity. And that healing fundamentally is the healing of the resurrection of a man for a man to be saved. Okay, so look at Matthew's Gospel 13, Matthew's Gospel 13, verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears. Are we together, right? Hear with their ears, right? I should understand their hearts. Look at the next verse. I should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, that word there, heal them, is a word in the Greek, iomai. I'll spell it for you, I-A-O-M-A-I. All together. Yeah? Look at Matthew 8. Go back to a few chapters before then. Matthew 8:8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Look at verse 13. He says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and thou, as thou art believed, see, be it done, and his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Verse 11, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, I'm healed. So if you look through what I just showed right now, is that word heal? They will heal them, they are healing, they will heal them. So we say, right? So it means that you see the connection between the ministry of Jesus and his relationship with people, and how healing is a vital element such that people knew him about it. Yeah? Look at Matthew's Gospel 15. Matthew 15, 28. Let me show you something in verse 20. Let's read verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyrus and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Look at what Jesus said. He answered her not a word. That means he didn't respond to her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. That means she's just particularly crying and, you know, cursing so much, in quote, commotion. Right? And it's destabilizing us. So send her away, for she cried after us. Then Jesus said unto her in verse 24, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So it means by default, this person that we're dealing with is referred to or seen as a Gentile. What you call an outcast. Remember, we started looking at the outcast conversation from Leviticus yesterday, right? There are people you treat as outcasts because of the issues of blood or their leprosy. That's why you see one of the few people that Jesus will say, go and show yourself to so and so because of this healing, were people who had leprosy. I went together. And why was that the case? Because in the society then, if you had leprosy, you will be treated as an outcast. Yeah, there's a colony where you will be stayed in. So for you to come back into the society, the priest is the only one that has the ability to verify you, to say of the truth, your leprosy has gone, so you can go back into the society. Because I heard that, leprosy is something that is transferable. Altogether, yeah. So in the real sense, the outcast, don't forget, Jesus has come to make his temple the house of prayer for every nation, for all people. Right, so the outcast that you will find, and you will see deliberately in across scriptures, where people, who even the Israelites themselves, will push away. So probably we call Gentiles. So he says, "I am not sent unto." So what disciples are saying, this lady is disturbing us. Can we just get out of the way? He said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Look at verse 25. Then came she and worshipped me, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. So listen carefully. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the table of the master. What is she trying to say? This is somebody whose faith was so strong. Now, what is happening here? Healing is the food for the children. I want together. So what Jesus is quoting there is from scriptures, teaching for us from scriptures, that it's not meat. That means it's not right to give the food for the children in the house and give it to dogs. Now, dogs there does not mean dogs as per animals. That's where context comes in. Altogether, when Paul warned about dogs in Philippians 3, verse 1-3, thereabout, he says, beware of dogs. And the dogs there are not talking at all about literal Caucasian dogs or German shepherds. Our together, right? So it is not meant that we take the children's food and give to cast the dogs. That means it's not for outsiders or who you call outcasts. In that sense, Abduma said, that's correct. Yes. But even at that, yet the dogs will eat of the crumbs, which for that means she's saying that if healing is the meal on the table, I agree with you. It is the king and their children that should eat the meal on the table. But even at that, the pauper still has something that will fall off from the table, and that thing will still be food. What a heart of faith. Did you hear what I just said? You are eating with your table. You are eating. Let's even take this case in literally. Yeah, you have a dog in your house. Yeah, you are eating on your table. Let's say you have that dog that eats human food as well, right? You know how when you finish eating and taking the meat off your, you know, your turkey or whatever it is, or your goat meat or whatever it is, right? Yeah, you now take that bone and give it to the dog, right? What is the woman saying? The woman is saying, yes, okay, I agree. The flesh is for the people on the table. But even at that, if the dog still eats the bone, the dog will get satisfaction with the bone. Are you with me? That's an excellent faith. I agree with you. The food for children is healing on the table, well served. But he says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs even eat the crumbs which fall from master's table. Then Jesus answered her. What was Jesus' answer to her? See what he said in verse 28. Oh woman, great is your faith. That means when she said that statement, it sounded or seemed like mockery. Are we together? Or sounded like saying like sarcasm. It sounded or seems like a, you know, she doesn't know who she is. But what did Jesus see there? He said, what? He says, great is your faith. And he says, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. So she's saying that, Jesus, I know you serve healing on the table. Mind you, we're looking at the honor culture, right? We looked at Mark's Gospel according to Mark 5:5, and Gospel according to Mark 6. And we said that Jesus went to his hometown, could not heal. And we said what was missing was unbelief because of dishonor. I want to get that they were in unbelief. It means they were in dishonor, right? And Bible says that Jesus could not do a lot of miracles in their mighty works in their midst because of unbelief, which was as a product of dishonor or dishonor in their hearts. Altogether, right? We look through Mark chapter 5, the Jairus and the daughter, right? Right? We look through the centurion earlier today, Jairus and the daughter. We also saw the woman who was dead, Tabitha. I went together, Tabitha Kumi, right? And Jesus went to raise her from the dead, and you know, Jairus' daughter as well was healed, you know, as well. You know, but what you are going to pay attention to, what you're going to pay attention to is that they knew there were certain things about Jesus. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing them that were oppressed. I went together, healing them that were oppressed. So she knew what to hear. We said something in our last meeting that the woman who eventually got healed from the Jairus' daughter was one eventually that got healed in Mark 5. Then I remember the second story, the woman with the issue of blood. We said that there were certain things that she heard, and there are certain things she turned tone deaf to. That means she turned her ears close to them. Certain things. That's life. Altogether, I'm saying in the world you find yourself, there are strongholds that actually have a hold and grip over your heart. And it's as a result of things you've lended your ears to. This woman is an example as well. She saw Jesus. She, you know, in our world, we say she pestered Jesus. She was a pest to Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus said, well, it's not good that I give you the food of the children, the bread of the children, and cast it to dogs. Dogs will be security for the Gentiles, the outcasts. Altogether, right? And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs, they will still even eat of the crumbs which falls from their master's table. And Jesus said, what? He says, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Look at what Jesus, and what happens later. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Faith. So what did this woman use her words to do? She used her words to get something from Jesus. Altogether, that means our words were full of it. So what you can call as words of a pest or words of somebody who doesn't know who they are, they were actually words full of faith. Are you with me? It means that your words are words that need to be full of faith, even though to the natural eyes it feels like you are stupid. altogether. You know, you can wake up and say to yourself, I'm going to stay in health. I will live in health. I will serve Jesus in health. Yeah, I will serve Jesus in health. I won't be carried on a wheelchair and be carried around from place to place to get to preach God's word. No, I will stay in health. I will serve Jesus in health. My vitals are in health. My body is in health. My blood is in health. My blood pressure is in health. Yeah, my body is in health. My skin is in health. Yeah, my eyes is in health. My hearing is in health. My fingers are in health. Right? Yeah, I'm not going to get, you know, to the next 20, 30 years and start fidgeting. No, I'll stand strong. There are men of faith. There's a man called Fred Price. I was together, Pastor Fred Price. I was together, right? I think he died a couple years ago, right? And at age 87, age 88, record history shows that he was still standing and he was walking around standing, preaching the gospel. That's my example. That's my example. All together, there's a man called Brother Kenneth Copeland today, still alive. One of the offshoots of, you know, Brother Hagin. All together, right? Until today, Brother Kenneth Copeland is probably in his 89 or probably 90, and he's still walking around preaching the gospel, standing preaching the gospel. All together, there are men like that in their 60s, in their 70s. You have the likes of Jerry Savelle. You have, you know, John Hagin. You have lots of them. John Hagin. We have John Hagin. We saw them preach to their old age. And they were standing and they were in health. And I said, that's my example. That's my example. I stay in health. Now, I ensure I keep my heart in check. I ensure I keep my body in check. I ensure I go for medical checkup. I ensure, yeah, in all of those things. But my emphasis is not as much on what the doctor says. But what does the word say? I can receive healing if I believe for it. I can receive. This is an example of a woman who can show to you that you can receive healing if you believe for it. So, look at it again. What happened? Have mercy on me in verse 22. O Lord, thou son of David. Are we together? What did she do? She honored him properly. Honor receives. This honor has consequences. Right? My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Bible now says the moment Jesus turned on her and said, what a faith is that? So what faith was required to get that daughter healed? It wasn't the faith of Jesus, but the faith of the woman. Did you get what I just said? It was the faith of the woman. I was together. So when faith seems to be unwavering and unstable, it lies only in the bosom of man, not on the bosom of God. I was together. Yeah, we can't say God has less faith to heal. It is only man that has the ability to have a less faith to heal, because man is a product of influence and God is a God that is not a product of influence. He is a faithful God. So that means God is a faithful God. Are we together? Yeah, faithful God. Are we together? Faithful God, full of faith. Are we together? Yeah, so what you can say, faithfulness. That means for every time X you look at God, he is a God that is faithful. His faithfulness endures. So when you see unwavering, yeah, that's what James will teach you. Yeah, he says, if any of you lack something, let him ask in faith, not wavering. For his man that is double-sided, a man that wavers is like a man that is double-sided. Are we together? Right? So you ensure that you keep your heart full of faith. So what did this woman do? While she was an outcast, who you call a dog, she filled her heart with faith. Are we together? And her faith made her whole. Altogether, I made her daughter whole. Altogether. So, what is Jesus using the story of lost sheep of the house of Israel, you know, children and prison bread cast into dogs? He's thinking about reconciliation. Look at Luke 5. And I believe in miracles. Look at Luke chapter 5. Altogether. Verse 17. After this meeting, I'll send two songs into the group chat, both Nigeria and UK, for us to pay attention to and listen to ahead of Sunday. Okay, look at Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was what? Present to heal. Look at what happens in verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with the palsy. And she was sick. All together. And they sought means to bring him and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him, what happened? They went upon the housetop, that means through the rooftop, and let down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. What was in demonstration? Honor and faith. You see, honor works a lot with faith. All together. Yeah? Honor. You cannot claim to dishonor someone and have a faith-filled mind to receive from the person. No. Yeah, that's why when Jesus will say they could not be healed, save a few folk in Mark 6, right? They were in unbelief because of dishonor. The cousin brother, for lack of better words, the cousin sibling and brother of dishonor is unbelief. and the cousin, sibling, and brother for honor, his faith. Are we together? You can't claim to honor, are we together, or to be in faith, rather, and you dishonor. So what was happening here? Jesus was preaching. The Bible says as he was preaching, the power of God was present to heal. Altogether, the power of God is present to heal. Altogether, just right now, the power of God is present to heal. And that pain in your body dries up right now. I can see a rushing, I can see a flow of blood. Altogether, a rushing flow of blood. Altogether, right? And I will decree right now upon your life that that blood sees it right now in the name of Jesus. It's been talking about as something that's, you know, not normal. Yeah, it shouldn't be normal. It sees it up from this meeting right now in the name of Jesus, right? Sees it up from this meeting right now in the name of Jesus. There's someone looking at me right now, right? Yeah, in the complexity of what you feel like you are, right, or where you feel like you are, right, it looks like they've given you some new reports, some news about what is happening to your body. I restore your health back right now in the name of Jesus. Your health is restored back to normal in the name of Jesus. That blood pressure is restored back to normal in the name of Jesus, right? That high cholesterol in your body is restored back to normal in the name of Jesus. That pain in your leg is restored back to normal in the name of Jesus. Pain is out of your body right now. Yeah, pain is out of your body right now. Pain is out of your body right now. In the name of Jesus, we receive total healing for you. There's someone you've been having a banging headache for a few days in 2 weeks right now. And you sort of drank water and it has now become something you are now used to. Yeah, but right now, God's power is right now working you. And go straight to the root of that cause. And it sees it right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, it sees it right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, it sees it right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's someone whose ear is getting 40. Altogether, your ear is getting 40. And it's almost as if your mind is already programmed to look for how to use hearing aids. Right now, that deafness that is coming upon you, I cause it to be unstopped right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah, deaf ears, right? Deaf ears, both partial, both full. Yeah, both partial, both full. We receive a total healing right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. There's somebody who your limbs have been paining you. They've been paining you, right? I can see someone as well. Your elbow, your wrists, your elbow and your motion, your motor in your hand. It's been sort of, you know, very, very, very stiff in very recent times, like recent days, right? God's power right now flows through your body and that gets healed right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah, there's someone who the doctor has told you you're going to be on pills for a few months into years. Altogether, you see, that cause, that thing that is in your body right now, we declare and I decree right now that, you know, there is total restoration right now in your body in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you just see that there was a need for you to be taking pills consistently for a period of time. No. God's powers are working you. God's powers are working you. God's powers are working you. Let me tell you, there's someone here, one of the children giving birth in God's palace. There's an ailment somewhere in the body of somebody. All together. And there's an ailment somewhere in the body. And it's almost as though the doctors have not yet identified it. They've not identified it. But you see, today, right now, as long as you are under the sound of my voice, I declare right now a total healing on that child in the name of Jesus. I could see that in the coming days, there will be a need for that person to be hospitalized. That child, one of our children. I mean, I'm talking about, most of our children are really young. Altogether, right? I'm not going to mention the exact name, right? But there's going to be a need, right, for the doctor's one. But you see, because of God's power right now at work in you, there's going to be a transformation. There's going to be a turning around in the name of Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God. I could see a report changing. Altogether, I see a report changing. I saw a result. Altogether, yeah. If you are the one listening to me, just go and take that result paper right now. Yeah, just take that result paper and look at it, right? And just lay your hands on it. If you're listening to me right now, there's a result that has come out, but it needs to be changed. Altogether, right? And I receive that right now that there's a total change in the name of Jesus. Total change in the name of Jesus. There's somebody right now in your body. The doctors have mentioned and said to you about carrying a baby. Yes, I could see certain reports around carrying a baby altogether, and it seemed not too positive. But at this time next year, I decree and declare over your life that at this time next year, there will be a cry of a baby in your home in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I could see you, both of you, sat down in front of you, or in front of doctors. And not just one. I'm seeing a first doctor, calling a second doctor, right, to confirm what the, you know, what the first doctor is saying. And I'm seeing a change of hospital to try and revalidate. And you what you could see was that the same thing that was said to that person, I went together, or to the, said by the doctor, was the same thing that the second doctor is repeating. I went together. And it looks like you want to try another one. But this time next year, this is April. I give you right now, between now and next year, April, there's going to be the cry of a child in your home in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I see a ruptured womb. And this is for someone, and is that you are not married? I'm seeing you single. I'm seeing you in isolation of others, right? So it could be that you are dating but not married, right? But I can see a ruptured womb. And I could see that womb receives total healing right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Total healing in the name. There's somebody listening to me right now. Your friend has reached out to you in recent times. Yeah, if you are the one, right, and you see if you're healing, just message. Don't message on the group chat. Just message privately. And we're together, right? If you are the one who has received, you are the friend who has reached out to you in very recent times, and they've been looking forward to getting pregnant. And we're together. Looking forward to getting pregnant. I could see like a miscarriage, like once. I could see even a second one, actually, right? You see, but the next one is going to be a child that will stay in health. In the name of Jesus, a child that will stay in health. In the name of Jesus, there's somebody whose genotype is the word genotype, right? I don't know if that's a word. Yeah, what you call AAAS and everything. I could see someone's womb changing. Yeah, I could see someone's genotype, if that's the word genotype. I could see that changing. But I could just see that. I could see one of those SS changing into an AS and AS into an AA. Yeah, I could see that instant change by God's power. Yeah, instant. Now, the truth is that there's sometimes when words are spoken this way, right? A lot of times, you might not feel an instant thing, but you see, there's such a thing called acting in faith. Are we together? Acting in faith. There's somebody who is in a pre-diabetic situation, pre-diabetic phase. Are we together? So just like a stage, such that if your number or your ratings or your reading just goes up a little, you're already what you call in a proper diabetic condition, right? But you see, I restore your sugar level in your body right now to normal in the name of Jesus. High blood pressure goes down right now. Your blood pressure is back to normal. I'm seeing a liver function, right? There's going to be, you know, a replacement of the liver. You see, when it comes to the miraculous, we can have what you call healing. I also see working of miracles. We can see creative miracles. I'll give you an example of a member in church, right, whose finger grew out altogether. After an accident, you know, the finger got caught, but grew out, right in our meeting, altogether, right? Yeah, and you see, because of that, that just shows that there's something called creative miracles, altogether. But you see, today, right now, I see that malfunctioning liver. I see a total replacement in the name of Jesus. Total replacement. There's somebody listening to me right now. There's certain things you had done in the time past as a result of, you know, youthful exuberance, whatever you call the word, altogether, right? You see, and you are suffering for some of those things today, right? Right now, as long as you're listening to my voice right now, I declare over your life right now, that your system is back to normal in the name of Jesus. Why am I seeing something strange? I'm seeing something strange, right? I'm seeing somebody who they've given a report of a number of years needed to live for. Now, why am I seeing this way? It's strange. Because somewhere in your mind, you've accepted it. I work together. But you've chosen not to tell people around you so you don't put fear in them. You're going to live past that number of years. You will stay in health, you and your family, in the name of Jesus. You will stay in health, you and your family, in the name of Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Well, so Jesus was teaching, and Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal and to heal them. And that atmosphere was so charged that some guys wanted to get their friend healed. You know, happy are you if you have friends who can build your faith alongside with you. And what happened? They went to the rooftop. They went to the housetop. They let him down through the roof with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw what he... So, Jesus, the Bible did not say that Jesus saw the guy. He saw their faith. That means faith can be seen. All right, together. Faith can be seen. Praise God forevermore. Yeah, I'm seeing a release of a blood clot. yeah, a blood clot is building, is piling up somewhere in your body, right? I receive a total healing right now. I receive a total healing right now. I'm seeing something else again. Gracious Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm seeing a growth, a strange growth altogether. I'm seeing a strange growth altogether, right? I'm seeing a strange growth, yeah? Don't get yourself bothered about it. Don't get yourself bothered about it. Continue with your lifestyle, right? Continue with the right things you're doing and continue getting your heart filled with faith. Continue doing that. Yeah. In the next few days, you will look for it. You will not see where it is. Yeah. Listen to my words. You will look for it. You will not see. You will not remember. You would have to try to program your mind to remember where it was, because it's going to dry up. And you know, it's one thing for it to dry up. I'm seeing it drying up and it disappearing. It just dissolves into your skin and it doesn't leave a scar. In the name of Jesus. It dissolves right now into your skin. It doesn't leave a scar. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. In the coming days, now there's one of you listening to me, right? There's a condition that doctors have spoken about, right? And in fact, what you were saying right now when I started talking was, this meeting, let pastor speak to me. Yeah, you're listening to me right now. Yeah, if you're the one, reach out to me privately on that matter, right? But what I could see was in the next few days, I saw you transition from a prayer meeting into a sleeping meeting. I saw you transition from a prayer meeting into a sleeping meeting. And when you got to sleep, I saw a surgery on you by God's angels. I saw a surgery. You slept. Are we together? Eh? And a couple days from now, you will just spend hours praying and you will sleep off, right? And this is how you will know that something has changed. You will wake up and you will be more tired than you've ever been in your life. Are we together? You will wake up and you will be very tired. Very, very. I saw a surgery. I saw angels tearing up and replacing and sealing back altogether. You know, as I'm saying like this, yeah, don't think literal. You won't see the scar. You know, there was something that existed before nanotechnology, and is the working of miracles. Working of miracles. I declare over every pregnant woman right now, listen to me, you will hold your baby in health in the name of Jesus. You will hold your baby in health in the name of Jesus. Listen to me carefully. There's one of you listening to me right now, right? And when your child is born, they will say something about your child. But let me tell you something. Between that age and age 3 months, between that date of birth and 3 months, yeah, there will be a change of that result. You're listening to me right now. You are pregnant. Not you will be pregnant. You are pregnant. You are carrying a baby, right? When that child is born, they will say something. Listen to me carefully. They will say something about that child. But give it 3 months. That report will change in the name of Jesus. Praise God forevermore. We will not bring out the dead from the living. Are we together? Or the living from the dead. Yes. We will not bring out, the doctors will not bring out the dead from the living or living from the dead. I come against every manipulation. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The power of God is ready to heal. You know, and if I haven't, you know, spoken to you about it, you can just, you know, lift your hands. You can even touch the screen and just receive your healing as well. If I've not spoken particularly about, you know, what, you know, you wanted to get healed about, yeah, because the power of God is ready to heal. Now, how did you make that available? The fact that we are teaching. Yeah, the Bible says that as it was teaching, the power of God was. So it means that some things you will do and you will act in faith. And the faith that you are acting in will be something that can be seen. Praise God forevermore. There's someone listening to me right now. You've been having several swellings. Are we together? It's been different swellings. From one swelling to another, to another, to another. From tonight, from this meeting, that swelling stops right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, that swelling. Your body never takes an abnormal shape in the name of Jesus. From this meeting right now, that swelling dries up. Yeah, that swelling dries up. There's someone who's going to wake up in the coming days, right? Very coming days. And where you felt pain before, you will wake up and you see it full of liquid. It will be wet. Full of liquid, to be wet. Altogether, it will be wet. You just feel full of liquid. You know what you do? Just clean it up and go and rejoice. Altogether, for you are healed. Yeah? Next coming days. In fact, very, very few days from now. What's the time? Yeah, very few days from now, right? Yes, you would actually just sleep off. You wake up and you just see that liquid, to be liquid. You'll be wondering, where did this liquid come from? Altogether. It's not sweat, too. It's not sweat. I'm seeing some bustings happening on your inside. Bustings. Things are busting and it's coming out. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we receive all of this. Amen. Now, what did Jesus say? The Bible says, when he saw them, he didn't see the man. He saw their faith. So it means faith can be seen. Faith can be heard. What did Jesus see with the woman whose daughter was possessed? He said, he saw her face. Your faith has made you whole. Right? So what did Jesus now say in verse 20? And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man. So he saw their faith and spoke to the man. So he saw their faith, didn't speak to the faith that he saw. He spoke to the man who had the faith, or the men that had the faith that he saw. Are we together? So he said, man, your sins have been forgiven thee. Are we together? Your sins are forgiven. Are we together? Right? Right? So look at what happened. Look at it. So that's why you stay away from scribes and Pharisees. Look at verse 21. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Are we together? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, saying unto them, right? What reason ye in your heart? Whether it's easier, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven thee, or say, rise up and walk, which is easier? What is asking them? Which is really easier? Right? But that ye may know, that the Son of Man had the power upon the earth. So definitely the Son of Man had the power to heal, but that ye may know that the Son of Man had the power upon the earth to forgive sins. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into your house. And Jesus has the power to forgive sins, and he also has the power to heal. All together. How God and Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing them that were oppressed. The same Jesus is on your inside. So the healing Jesus is the one on your inside. It means you can see healings and miracles right in your life. I'm seeing someone here today, right? You've experienced laying hands on other people and seeing them healed, but you've never practiced laying hands on yourself. Who are you? You're another person. Lay hands on yourself. Altogether, there's somebody listening to me right now. So in time past, you've because you were battling certain things in time past, and people reached out to you for you to pray with them, you have shielded yourself from praying with them. You try to stop yourself from praying with them, right? Because you are thinking, how can the sick pray for the sick? Let me tell you something. A sick man, have you not seen scriptures, right? The dead bone of a man jacked another man back to life. Altogether, William Brown was a man who his body, certified dead in the hospital, and they brought a dead man beside him and he jacked back to life. Altogether, right? What am I saying? What you are ministering is not your sickness. You are ministering God's power. I'm saying a man can be on the crutches and get somebody who is on the crutches healed. What you are ministering is not your pain in your leg. What you are ministering is not your amputated leg. What you are ministering is God's power. Are we together? Yeah. So I'm speaking to you that present day. It has happened like two or three times. Several people reach out to you and say, I'm feeling this in my body. And subconsciously you want to pray, but somewhere in your mind, you're programming yourself not to pray because you as well, you are going through certain pains, certain challenges. And I say to you from today, right, make your heart clear, for you see, you are not releasing your sicknesses to people. You are releasing God's power. And God's power is resident on your inside. So if it's there, it means it can be communicated. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God. I'm seeing arthritis taken care of. Arthritis, I know that's how to pronounce it. Arthritis is being taken care of right now in the name of Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Right? So what did Jesus do? He says, get up from your bed, right? And the Bible says that he went on and immediately rose up before them and took up that wherein he lay, and he departed to his house glorifying God. Praise God forevermore. Been a beautiful healing meeting. Are we together? Yeah, been a beautiful healing meeting. You know, God's power has been communicated. Altogether, all you need to do is to open your heart and receive it. Altogether, open your heart and receive it. 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 Yeah, we're going to do more of this as well on Sunday. Altogether, where we'll have hands laid on people and we're going to see people receive their healing in the name of Jesus. Right? Yeah, it might be something we've not spoken about. Yeah, you know, there's some people, some of us will have like 3-4 different ailments we're spoken about. Right now, you've checked your body, one of them is out, all of them is out. On Sunday, the remaining two will not pass you by. And they will not leave that meeting with you. And we're together. They would not leave that meeting with you. They will stay out of your body. And we're together. Stay out of your body. And you will leave that meeting a man, a woman, victorious in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. Yeah? It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. let's look at a few things tomorrow, okay? I'm going to pray to bring God's word your way. For those of you who I'm going to have a meeting with, just I'll share the link right now and show that, you know, just join in immediately. Well, I'll see you again tomorrow. Today is day 5, right? Listen to this teaching again, right? Listen to the examples I gave earlier on. What was I doing with those examples? To tell you how imaginations are formed. How do you pull down imaginations, right? Through the speaking of God's word. And through the feeding and speaking of God's word. Well, I'll be with you again tomorrow. Final online day. Our together. Then we'll become, readily available to get ourselves physically meet on Sunday, right? Don't forget, we're preparing to host our pastor, right? Pastor Shego Onayinka, right? In the coming days. And we're still praying and intentionally praying towards it. In the coming days, we'll have more prayer meetings and more of our meetings hinge that praying towards that meeting. There's going to be plans for prayer and fasting. We've done prayer and fasting towards the meeting already. We're going to do it again towards the meeting. Different prayer meetings, different various prayer meetings we're going to do ahead of the meeting. And trusting that we're going to experience, you know, God in a new way. Are we together? Well, been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I love you all so dearly. I'll see you tomorrow, same time, same station. Cheers. Love you all. Bye.